probably not saved. They don't feed you. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." This Bible will discern your thoughts, not just your thoughts, but the intents of your heart. The Bible wasn't written like a novel or a magazine or a tabloid. You just can't pick it up and skim through it. And it's a supernatural book. If you're not saved, this book is dead to you. It's the dullest book on the planet. If you're alive, if you're saved this morning, this is the greatest thing you've ever seen in your life, reading the Bible. It'll speak to you. It'll feed you like a food. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." 1 Peter chapter 2 said, "Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby as newborn babes." You know what that baby? That baby's looking for that milk. A child of God, when you got saved, there should be a just like that toward the word of God. It ought to be real to you. And a lot of them's not. Brother Earl was here when he was here. Brother Earl had a fifth grade education. Old dope head. Cooked brain. Satanist. He's already read his Bible through 100 times, over 100 times. And he's telling me one, we hung around after the services, every service, and talked about an hour, just me and him. And one night he was saying, "Man, I can't wait to get back to the hotel. I can't wait." I said, "What's going on?" He said, "I finished reading my Bible this morning," and he said, "When I get back to the hotel, I get to start over in Genesis." He said, "Man, I can't wait to get back to the hotel." What is that? That's a saved man. You feed off that book. It's food to you, and it'll feed you, and it'll help you. And if it don't, something's wrong. It's a supernatural book. The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it said, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, for they're foolishness unto him." They're spiritually discerned. If you don't, the Bible doesn't speak to you, if it's foolish to you, if it doesn't feed you, then something's wrong somewhere. And the Bible speaks to me, and it gives me something, and I get fed from it, just like as much or more than I go get fed with physical food. And turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. And when I read the Bible, I'm looking for something. I never read the Bible that I don't get something. I've got 15 messages at least this week reading my Bible. I mean, it's just unbelievable what God gives. I'll never preach everything God gave me. It's not going to happen. It's impossible. Unless we want to have services Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's just God just... Miss Martha's over saying, "Yeah, sounds good." I never get it. It just gives me... And I read something in the Bible, and it's so profound sometimes. When you read it, you know, you don't really read it like you should. You ought to be feeding on it. And Proverbs 23 is a great example of this. In Proverbs 23, verse 1... "When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is set before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat." Man, that's some heavy stuff. God says if you're sitting down there and you give an appetite, he said, take a knife and cut your throat. What he said? "When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is set before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite." You ever read that verse? I've read that many times, and I've had this message for a while. Like most of them, I work on them for years. And I've looked in zillions of commentaries on the Proverbs 23, and nobody even talks about it. You just skip over it, really. And I'm thinking, "Lord, there's some meat there. There's something there, Lord." And I said, "Lord, I know I'm just stupid, but I got the Holy Ghost in me, and I'm looking for it, and give me something, Lord." And I want to preach on that this morning. I want to preach on, if thou be a man given to appetite. Brother David Beard, take us to the Lord in prayer this morning. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. I mean, there's a lot of verses in the Bible, and this is some of them. When you read them, you kind of scratch your head like, what is going on here? I mean, that verse is pretty radical. If thou be a man given to put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. And the Bible was written that way. It's written to make you think. It was written to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. It wasn't written that you could just pick that book up and read it and get it, especially if you're lost. It was me written to discern your thoughts and intents of the heart. And that's what this verse does. I mean, Dwight L. Moody, the famous evangelist, got through preaching one time, and a young man came to him, and he was crying and weeping, and he said, "Oh, Brother Moody," he was saying, "there's just some things in the Bible I just don't understand." And Brother Moody said, "Well, son, you got to remember, somebody smarter than me and you wrote it." Sam Jones, the famous evangelist, Methodist evangelist, who was one of the greatest preachers to ever live, come out of Alabama. And Sam Jones said, "If I can understand everything in the Bible, I know somebody as stupid as me wrote it." Amen. When I pick up the Bible, I know it's a supernatural book, and I know it's coming from the Lord. Ronald Reagan, years ago, and I played it for you, he did a radio talk on the Good News Bible in 1977, and he talked about the King James Bible versus the Good News, and he said this: "The sponsors of the Good News version boast that their Bible is as readable as a daily paper. And so it is. But do the readers of the Daily News find themselves moved to wonder at, quote, the gracious words that proceedeth out of his mouth?" Mr. Hanser suggests that sadly that the tinkering and general horsing around with the sacred text will no doubt continue. If pious drudges try to get it right, they will not dawn upon them that it has already been gotten right. You see, this book was not written for you to pick it up and read it like a newspaper or a magazine. It was because it's the Word of God. The Message Bible, by the way, says about these verses. Proverbs 23. "When you go out to dinner with an influential person, mind your manners. Don't gobble your food down and don't talk with your mouth full." Now that made that just clear as a bell, didn't it? And that's what they do. And I want to give you some things about that verse, some things you may have never seen. I want to start off and say the first thing I want you to see is there's the relaxation, the relaxation. Look at what it says. "When thou sittest," when thou sittest. And you know the idea behind that is you're just sitting down and relaxing. And a lot of time when you sit, the Bible talks about that. A lot of time when you sit, you just relax. And the word relax, it means relax. The word lax means loose, and the re means extreme. And when you relax, you're just extremely sitting. "When thou sittest," there's a relaxation. And you know, when you're sitting, yes, your most vulnerable position you could ever be. "When thou sittest." And you know what's wrong with a lot of Christians today? They're sitting. They're sitting. And when you sit, you're in your weakest position. Psalms chapter 1 said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not with the counsel of the ungodly." You're walking with them, first of all. "And standeth in the way of sinners." Then he's stopping and he's standing. And in the last part it said, "He sitteth in the seat with the scornful." You see, when you're sitting down, you've already lost the battle right there. And a lot of Christians right now, in America and in this church even, around the country, you know what they're doing? They're just sitting. And when you sit, you're in your weakest position. You know what they say about sitting now? The health people, they say sitting's the new smoking. What they say? I've gave it to you here. They say sitting is as bad for you as smoking cigarettes. I believe that. Miss Jane, she stands all the time. She ought to live to be at least 200 years old. I mean, she cuts hair on her feet all the time. But you know, when you're sitting, that's the relaxation, and that's when you're the most vulnerable. You can't fight sitting down. You can't do it. I've tried it years ago. I used to go to Fairfield Theater when I was a little guy, when I was a little juvenile delinquent. Thought I was. My parents, they'd go out on the town. My mama would go gambling. My daddy would go drinking. So they'd dump me off at Fairfield Theater every Friday night. And that's where all the little hoodlums run around, you know. We'd run around. We was about 9 or 10 smoking our cigarettes, you know, and stealing beer and getting in fights. And we'd go there to Fairfield Theater. And there was one little guy whose name was Peanut. What we call, he's about that big. about half the size. He's about the size of a peanut. And Brother Jeff, he had a little man syndrome. You had a big mouth like they do, you know, like a little chihuahua dog. We know we knock on the door and there's a chihuahua, don't we, Brother Brian? And that's the way he was. Well, I liked this girl named Vicky years ago back then. And he is sitting with her at the theater. And she said, get him up, get him up. I tried to get him up, talk. I couldn't get him up. Finally, Brother Jeff, I tricked him. I said, come on, Peanut. I got something I need to show you up in the lobby. Come on, come on. And Peanut jumped up and I jumped down in the chair. And then he jumped on me. And that little guy, he's about the size of a peanut. I could have hit him one time, but he jumped on me, Jeff, like a duck on a June bug, like Uncle Reuben talking about this morning. And I'm in that chair trying to hit him back, and my elbow and thing hitting the chair. And you know what I found out? You can't fight sitting down. As a child of God, when you sit down, when thou sittest, you can't fight. You're too relaxed. And a lot of Christians right now, they're just sitting. They're sitting. When thou sittest, there's a relaxation. You watch me when I'm walking around the church. I stand up the whole time. During the song service, I'm standing up. You say, why? It's one, it's too hard to get back up after you sit down, number one. It is. So I figure I'll just stand up the whole time anyway. I got to get up here anyway, so I might as well just stand up the whole time. But you know, I'm just not a sitter. I don't like to just sit. I want to do something. If it's just stand up here and walk around and look at you, it's better than just sitting there. When thou sittest, there's a relaxation. When we sit, we get relaxed. And you can't fight when you're relaxed. And a lot of God's people right now, they're just sitting. They're sitting. Somebody said a preacher's job is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. Because when you get too comfortable with the Lord, you know what? You just sit there and rot and rust and do nothing for God. You'll get yourself in trouble. You just hold around. You're getting ahead of my message there, Brother David, now. You looked at my notes. That's not fair. That's cheating. Turned over to Matthew 27 and Luke 30 and Luke 22. Go to Matthew 27. I tell you something else. You can't preach while you're sitting either. It's impossible. I had my meniscus repaired years ago, you know, and I was on crutches for a while, and I had Brother David, and I think Brother Stan come in a couple of weeks and preach for me. And my wife, she said, why don't you get in a wheelchair and just preach? I said, oh yeah, that'd work. I'd see Brother Jeff running me around the building in a wheelchair. I'm going, you better get right with God, I'm telling you right now. I can't preach sitting down. Like Brother Tully used to say, brother, if you're sitting, you ain't preaching. You might be speaking, but you ain't doing no preaching, amen. You can't preach sitting down. You can't serve God just sitting down. Look at Matthew 27. The Son of God's crucified. I mean, all that's going on. Look at Matthew 27. And they crucified in verse 35. And they crucified and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots, verse 36. And it says this, and sitting down, they watched him there. You know what a lot of God's people are doing? They're just sitting down watching what's going on. I mean, this church right now is experiencing revival. We're seeing people say, we got preaching all over the place, we're seeing a movement in the church, and a lot of you just sitting there watching. Wonder what's going on. Hey, get in! Get in! Go join, spend some time with Brother Ben. Maybe some of that will jump off on you. Hey, I need to spend some time with him. You know what? A lot of God's people just sitting down, like a black preacher said. He said, my congregation, they done concreted on me. And when I said us, there's a relaxed quit being so relaxed. Get up and go. When thou sittest, look at Luke chapter 22. It's hard to walk, it's hard to run, it's hard to fight when you're sitting. Look at Luke chapter 22. There's old Peter. I mean, Peter wanted to serve God. Peter was sold out. Bible said Jesus came up to him one day and said, follow me. And the Bible said he forsook his net and his ship and everything and followed him. One time, Matthew 16, God the Father and the Holy Spirit gave him an IV. He said, "Whom do men say that I am?" He said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it, but my Father." Peter said, "Boy, they all deny you, Lord." "Not me. Not me. Lord, if I die," he said, "I won't deny you." Jesus said, "You'll deny me before the cock crow thrice." Look at Luke 22. What's happened to old Peter? Verse 54. "And they took Jesus." They took him. Verse 54. Luke 22, 54. "And led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed." Far off. Peter followed. Afar off. "And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the foe and were set down," what did it say? "Peter sat down among them." You know what happened after he sat down? A little damsel came up to him and he denied the Lord three times. He began to curse and to swear. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of God's people got following the Lord afar off and they sat down and they just about practically denied the Lord. We're now sinners. There's a relaxation. When you and I are sitting, we're the most vulnerable. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We ought to take a stand for the Lord. We've been out there on the streets and so many people come by and pat us on the back and roll the windows down. We're out there visitation. Brother Zito and Jeff said, the people they knocked yesterday, they were just telling, "Thank you for doing this. We're so thankful for doing this." We get that all the time. You say, they want to see somebody that'll take a stand for God, man. Everybody just sitting around in the whole world out there, all the Republicans and Democrats and the perverts are taking a stand for their stuff and the Christians are just sitting down watching them there. Bless God, we need to take a stand. When you sit, you just relax and give up. Ephesians chapter 6. Here's the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6:10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Watch it. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may sit in the church." That's what it says, isn't it? What a lot of people believe, that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 13. "Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, sit." Not what it says. Having done all, after you've done everything, stand. Verse 14, "Stand therefore." You know what a lot of God's people are doing? They're sitting. We're now sitters. Proverbs 23 says, the devil looks for you when you're sitting and relax. That's when he'll knock you out. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." That word sober, it means to be grave, it means to be ready, it means to have a ready mind, it means diligent, be sober, be vigilant. That means be ready to fight. Because when you're relaxed, that's when the devil's going to look for you. When you're sitting and not doing anything for God, that's when he'll show up, just like he did with Peter. I've seen it happen 100 million times, it seemed like, since I've been a Christian. All over the place. I'm reminded of the great Harry Houdini. Harry Houdini was the great escape artist. He is unbelievable. He is in great shape. He is an unbelievable guy. I've read a lot about Harry Houdini when I was a kid. I liked him. You know, I wanted to be an escape artist after I about drowned one day, and I gave that up. Decided to be a dope head. It was much easier. Dope heads and rock stars are a whole lot easier than being escape artists. October the 22nd, 1926, Harry Houdini had been performing at a place, and two college students came up to Harry Houdini, and they asked him, and he was in great shape. I mean, Harry Houdini was a bodybuilder and everything. And he is known for letting people come up to him and hitting him in the stomach, Brother Ben. He could take a punch. He could have anybody come up there and he'd get his stomach and bam! They hit him in the stomach and he wouldn't even feel it. And those two college students came in there one day and they were in his dressing room and Harry Houdini was just kind of going through some mail and stuff and one of them asked him, he said, "Is it true that you can take a punch in the stomach?" And that little college student, Miss Samantha, he reached over there, Harry Houdini said, "Yeah, I'd take a punch." And Harry and that college student just reached over there and bam! Hit him in the stomach. But he was relaxed. He didn't have his stomach flexed. And when he hit him in the stomach, Miss Carroll, it busted his appendix. And he got appendicitis and died a day later. You see, that's what happens to a lot of Christians. You see, you were flexed and right with God, and you were stand up and standing. You know what? You could take a punch from the devil in the world, but a lot of God's people, they're sitting and they're relaxed, and the devil gives them a punch and knocks them right out. When thou sittest, and I want to say there's the relaxation, and it says this, when thou sittest to eat, there's the reason. There's the reason. There's the temptation. When thou sittest to eat. I mean, you're already relaxed. Now you're sitting down at the table ready to eat. And there's the reason. Sitting down to eat. And you know something? We all like to eat. I don't see anybody here miss a meal except for Annie Mae. I think everybody else looks like you're doing pretty good except for Brother David. David, he's suffering from anorexia. He's in anorexia rehab. You know what? We all like to eat, don't we? When I sit us to eat, I mean, remember our great-great-great-great-grandmother Eve? Remember what happened to her, Samantha? Sat over there in Genesis chapter 3 when she saw the tree was what? Good for food. That did it. That wiped it out right there. Miss Carol, boy, she's a great cook, by the way, man. You could put her over there, Dad. But it said when she saw the tree was good for food, as pleasant to the eyes, desire to make one wise, she took thereof, ate it. So what are you trying to say? I want to tell you there's a reason. There's that temptation. We all like to eat. That's what got Eve in trouble. You know what? That'll get you in trouble. And our appetite and our eating goes far beyond food. Take your Bible, turn to Psalms 141 and go to Proverbs 1. There's a lot more things we eat than just food that we cram in us. A lot of stuff. And when thou sittest, there's that relaxation. You let your guard down, you're not prepared for it, and you sit down to eat, and you're ready, and you're hungry, and you're just sitting there relaxed, waiting for somebody to shove something down you. Brother Bunk preached a great little pop-up a while back. I don't know how many of you got it. I got it. In fact, it helped me with this message. He said, never go to the grocery store hungry with $2 in your pocket. And he is talking about the world. What he's talking about? He's talking about when you get hungry out there and you don't have anything for God and you're not right with God, all you got is $2, then you'll buy everything. You'll take everything the devil will give you. That's what he's trying to tell you. And when you set us to eat, there's a reason. You're relaxed. You're sitting down there ready to eat. Look over there in Proverbs 141:4. Psalms 141:4. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Look at Proverbs 1:31. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way. Proverbs chapter 4, look at it. Proverbs 4:17 says this, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Flip over to Proverbs 31, I can give you many more. Go to Proverbs chapter 30. Go to Proverbs 30 and Proverbs 31. You see, when he's talking about eating that verse, it's talking a lot more than food. You and I eat and put a lot of things in our mind, in our body, that we shouldn't do it. And when you set us, that's when you relax. That's when you left your guard down. And then when you get ready to eat, that's when you're weak. That's the reason. That's the temptation, just like Eve. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 20 says this. Proverbs 30:20. Such is the way of the adulterous woman. She eateth. Adultery. She eateth and wipeth their mouth and saith, I've done no wickedness. Proverbs 31, verse 27, talking about that virtuous woman. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Some people just like to eat the bread of idleness. They just like to sit there and do nothing and just be lazy and sit there and think all their problems and all the depression and all the worry and all the things they can't. If they would just get up and do something for God, they'd go away. But they eat the bread of idleness. I told you one time about my cousin down there in Pensacola. Oh, this was great, Brother David. My cousin David, who was down there going to school, and he fell in this love with this girl named Penny. And they dated for a little while. And then she broke up with him. He was just heartbroken. Oh! You know that deal. Y'all ever been heartbroken, huh? Raise your hand. And she is sitting there. He is over that day and in that weekend, you know. We room together. We was in a duplex. He was sucking his thumb, you know, kind of thing. And just whining over there. Oh, me. I said, won't you get up? Quit sitting there. Go get some of them cracks and go to the mall. Leave somebody to God. Quit whining. I said it just like that, too. And he looked at me. He grabbed some trash, slammed the door, went out the door. Come back about 3 hours later, bouncing in the door. He said, glory to God, I led two people to God at the mall. You know what, brother? You need to just quit sitting there and eating the bread idleness and just feeling sorry and just laziness and get up and go. And go. Now sit us. Look over there in the, I told you Proverbs 31. Seed is not the bread of idleness. Somebody said the idle mind is the devil's workshop. A lot of truth of that. Look what it said in that verse. Verse 2. If thou be a man given appetite, put a knife to thy throat. If thou be a man given to appetite. Notice what it says. It don't say, and put a knife to thy throat if thou have an appetite. But it said if you're given in to that appetite. Remember over there in Timothy, talks about not giving to much wine. It says about the preacher not giving to filthy lucre. When you give in, that means it's got control of you. And when you sit down and they eat, and brother, that appetite, sometimes it'll take over your life. And you'll give in to that appetite. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, there's the reason. There's the heat. Turn over to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. You know what? When we're hungry, that's our weakest point. When we're hungry, brother, we'll eat about anything. I saw this show on TV here a while back. It was one of these survival shows. Me and my wife was watching this stuff. And they were there and they didn't know what they were doing. And there's one guy, he was starving. He was so hungry. He lost about 50 pounds. He was just shriveled up. He was hungry, and he found these berries, Miss Samantha. And he said, as a black guy, and he said, you know what? I don't know what these berries are. And he said, I probably shouldn't eat these berries. But he said, I'm so hungry, they look good. And he ate a handful of them. And boy, the next scene, you saw him over there. Bleh, bleh, bleh. You know what? When you're hungry, you'll eat about anything. And when you set us to eat, that's your weakest point. That's the point the devil can come in there and knock you. Hey, isn't that where he tempted the Lord? The Son of God? Isn't that where he tempted Jesus? It said when Jesus had fasted 40 days and when he was hungered, the tempter came. Listen, if he knows how to tempt the Lord Jesus, brother, he knows how to tempt you. Look at Genesis chapter 25. There's old Esau. Esau was the firstborn. He was the one to get the first. He was the one that was to get the birthright. He was the one. Look at Genesis chapter 25, verse 29. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came to the field, and he was faint. When you get hungry, you get faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, or I am faint, therefore with his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. He wasn't about to die. You don't die missing one meal. He is just a little hungry and weak, brother Zito, and sold his whole birthright for a mess of pottage. When you get hungry, brother Ben, when thou sittest to eat, that's when you're relaxed and you're at your weakest point. Right there. There's a resource. Turn over to Proverbs 27. Never go to the grocery store hungry with $2 in your pocket. You might get arrested for shoplifting before you get through, amen? Especially if you go to Publix. See some of that fried chicken over there. Woo, buddy, they know what they're doing. They know how to cook that bird, don't they, Sarah Lee? I saw this guy Friday at the Public. I went out there and he was opening up the door, stealing all kind of stuff. I thought I went over to arrest him and his brother Zito. He had the door open, had a big computer tablet. I thought, look at that guy, man. He's filling his pocket full of stuff. His brother Anthony. Don't go to the grocery store hungry with $2 in your pocket. Don't do it. Look over there in Proverbs 27, verse 7. Look what it says. It says, the full soul loatheth and humming honeycomb. He's not interested in it. But the hungry soul, every better thing is sweet. You see, when you're hungry and not set us to eat, brother, when you got that temptation, everything tastes good, and whatever the world pulls in your mouth and your mind, you'll take it in. When I set us to eat, there's a relaxation. There's a reason. There's that sitting and there's that eating. Next thing I want you to see, it gets worse every step, by the way, as we get through this. When I set us to eat, look at the next one. With a ruler. You start relaxing a little bit, and you just let your guard down a little bit, and you're sitting there, and you're kind of hungry, and you say, well, I see what's on the TV, I'm just relaxing. About that time, some garbage shows up, and you just sit there, eating it up. Fox News. Something you should be watching. Ah, that's good stuff. You know what? Thou sent us to eat with a ruler. And you know what it'll do? It'll rule you is what it'll do. Because you get relaxed, you let your guard down, and you got a reason, you're tempted and you're hungry, and you just say, okay, world, whatever you got, I'll take it in. And for long, it'll rule you and it'll run you. When thou settest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is set before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. With a ruler. You're not eating with a friend. You're not eating with an enemy. But you're sitting with someone that wants to rule you and take over your life. And I'm going to tell you, that whole cotton-picking world out there wants to do that right now. And the devil's got something out there to get your heart and your mind and everything you believe off the Lord Jesus Christ and mess you up is what he wants to do. And he'll rule and he'll run you. When thou settest to eat with a ruler, with a ruler. Hebrews chapter 12, 1. I thought about that. About that race that we run, lay aside every weight. And the sin which does so easily beset us. You see that sin, it said, does so easily beset us. And that word beset means to capture and rule you. And when thou settest to eat with a ruler. What is it this morning that'll rule you and run you? And take over your life. I see it a lot with Christians. You see it out in the world. I mean, there's that temptation to sit and eat and just be given appetite. We all have it. We all do it. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what was said before thee and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. And that ruler will take over and rule and run your life. Maybe it's just laziness. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's pornography. You got a problem with pornography? Don't get there and sit in front of that internet and be tempted by that stuff. You got a temptation if it's gambling, don't go to the racetrack or one of those places. If you got a temptation with alcohol, don't go to the liquor store and pass out tracts. I had a friend that did that. He was a drunkard. He got saved. His name was Billy. One of the best Christians I've ever known. True. Brother David used to go to church with Brother Bunk and all of us. Brother Billy was an old drunk, got saved. He had a burden for those drunks. So he went to the liquor stores, would stand out at the liquor stores and pass out tracts. Pretty soon he was passed out. He was back on it, still is. It's been about 30 years. Listen, when I sit and eat with a ruler, if it's something that gives you an appetite and tempts you, brother, don't sit down and eat it. It'll take over your life. And nothing ought to be before the Lord. I heard a great illustration this week. I mean a good one. I'm a big Alabama fan. You know that, don't you? Me and Brother David, we've been to a bunch of football games, haven't we? Yeah, Alabama. I mean, I'm into it. My wife will tell you, man, I watch the game sometime, and me ask my son was there, they'd have to leave. They'd go shopping. We'd get a football, me and him. And I'm serious, we'd get into it. We'd go crazy, man. Brother David knows, he'd been with me. I had a good time. But I had a great illustration this week, Brother Ben. You're going to like this. I wish I'd have thought of this. And it was at the National Prayer Breakfast. James Spann was there. I read this in the paper. Oh, this is good stuff. I wish I'd have thought of this. And Scott Dawson, he was there. Scott Dawson, evangelist. And he preached at that thing. He said this, Brother Ben. He said, we worship sports. Football is the greatest game ever created. But he said, it's a lousy God. You see, you can get too far in that thing when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, and that thing can become your God. Brother Ben alluded to that this morning. I mean, sometimes those things, they can just take over when you're given to that appetite. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler. Politics is the same way. Politics is great for comedy. That's the best comedy show on earth. Evan Costello retired and Donald Trump showed up. And Barack. The Barack and Trump show. It's great, man. I love watching it for comedy. I don't watch much of it. But don't take it serious. It's great comedy, but it's a lousy God what it is. Because I mean they'll rule you. And you'll be so pumped up and so mad. It's all blah, 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 blah. You know what? When you set a thing with a ruler, consider diligently what is said before thee. We've had people come to this church. A couple of them. They don't come now. But it would make a difference. They did. I'd still preach it. They come here. And one of them, she came to me. She said, oh, Brother Terry, have you heard about those concentration camps in Oklahoma? I'm serious. She said, man, I hardly sleep at night. She said, I'm so worried about it. I said, are you serious? I said, where'd you hear about? She said, they're going to throw all the Christians in concentration camps. I said, where'd you? She said, I heard Alex Jones in InfoWorld say that. I said, you need to turn off Alex Jones in InfoWorld and get in the Word of God. She came to me. One time she said, I'm telling the truth now. And this lady was upset. She said, oh, she said, have you heard about March the 15th? That was this year. I said, what's going on, March? She said, you hadn't heard, Brother Terry. I said, no. She said, I can't sleep. It's what she told me. She said, I can't sleep at night. I'm so worried. I said, what's going on, March the 15th? She said, they're going to hit the debt ceiling limit. And the government's going to shut down. I said, praise the Lord. The best news I've heard. Shut her down. Shut her down. I'm serious. I've had people come to me in this church. Oh, you know what? Barack Obama's going to call martial law. He's going to stay and he's not leaving. I said, you got to be kidding. Listen, he can't wait to get out of. Did you see him a few days afterward? Anybody see the pictures of him out there skiing, having a good time? He was having a ball. Listen, brother, have you ever seen the pictures before and after him as president? He aged 40 years and 8 years. It's a rough job. Say, what's going on? People are sitting and they're eating the world and it's ruling and it's running their relationship with the Lord. I give you this stuff over and over and over and I'm going to keep giving it to you over and over and over and I'm going to try to get you rid of everything you got with that book. I want to get you to the point where you say, that preacher doesn't run everything I believe except the book. That's where I'm trying to get you. I'm trying to get you on one thing. I've got one safe city, one sanctuary in my life, and it's just right here. Not Fox News. None of those shows. I said it before, and I'll go on record with the Lord about it, Lord. I think one of the worst things that ever happened to this country is that 24/7 cable news and the social media on the internet. All that stuff does is rule you and run you. I mean, you get on their Twitter. Get on fake news. Get on all that stuff. I mean, get on their Fox. All they do is cram that stuff, CNN, cram that stuff, and get you wired up, and it'll rule you and run you. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, get in that book. It's the only thing you can trust is the Word of God. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, I'm going to close right there. I got a bunch more. I might give it to you tonight. I don't want to hit it to you guys. The best is yet to come. So, all right, we're going to stop right there. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father.